sheet that I gave out today, the one that says at the top, on one side, 3111A, and the other side, 3111B. Okay? I gave out all the copies I have. So, at this point, you have whatever I have. This is the third Medrash, or I should say actually the fourth Medrash, in our series on the construction of the boat. The first Medrash on the boat taught us to look at the construction of the boat as a mitzvah action with mitzvah details to it compared to other times when God instructs people to do something. I can't go louder than everybody else. The second one dealt with the nests. The idea that the boat should be created as residences, as nests, and we linked that with purification. The third one dealt with the lining.
People are confused because you talked about the Midrash number that's in the middle of the page. So you're confused.
No.
You said 3111A. Looking for it.
I said at the top of the page it says 3111A.
Oh, the top.
Yeah. The third Midrash that we talked about has to do with the lining. This Midrash is going to pick up on the next verse. And one simple letter. Take a look, please, at the top of the page, source number 1, Bereshit 6, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 is the one we already saw. Make a boat of gopher wood, nests, line it inside and out with pitch, we're good with that. The second verse says as follows, Vizeh asher ta'aseh osah. You don't have a sheet at all here. Could somebody share so we could pass one over here? That would be very helpful. You need to have at least one sheet there. V'zeh asher ta'aseh osah. This is the way you shall make the boat. Shlosh me'os ama orech hateva. 300 ama long. An ama is a cubit. And that just explained everything. Generally speaking, we assume an ama is the distance from the elbow to one's fist. And then there's some dispute historically, because cubits are not uniquely a Jewish measure. They're used in other societies. And societies vary in terms of how they measure it, whether you measure it like this, from the elbow to the fist, or whether it's the elbow to the end of the fingers as they are outstretched. Classically, if I remember correctly, within Torah, the measurement is to the end of the middle finger, so that each finger actually has a name within the Talmud based on the role that that finger plays within Jewish law. For all sorts of purposes. So, for example, there's a way that the Kohen held his hands when he brought a grain offering and he picked up the grain. And based on that, one of the fingers is known as the Kometz because it's used for the Kemitza. It's used for this fistful that he of bread. But in any case, the point here is that the middle finger gets the name Amma, reflecting the Amma, which is measured from the elbow to the end of the middle finger. So that's your distance. Now, of course, that's going to vary for people. But a standard Amma, generally speaking, as it's used today, is 21.6 inches, which is a different number in centimeters. The way we get that number is because an Amma is composed, as we use it, an Amma is composed of 6 hand breaths. There have been different measures for cubits over time, but the standard measure that we use is that it's made of 6 hand breaths. A hand breath is this measure of the fist, the width of the fist, and that's assumed to be, on average, 3.6 inches, 0.9 inches per finger. So multiplying 3.6 by 6, you end up with 21.6 inches. Sorry? So this actually is a contemporary measure, not a classic measure. This is a contemporary measure that's been done. But how you get to that is really its own topic, way beyond the scope of what we're getting to right now. The point is that that's your measure for an Amma. So every time you see Amma here, think 21.6 inches. 300 Amma is the length of the boat. 50 Amma, its width. 30 Amma, its height. Okay. Is there anything unusual besides the dimensions of the boat, which, you know, strike me as large? But is there anything unusual in this sentence? Anything you'd pick up on trying to work with the Medrash's fine ear for language? It's extremely subtle. does the sentence start? No. The sentence 15. And this is how you shall make it. Tell me something. The instructions for him to build the boat started in sentence 14. Right. Ariella catches it. The instructions already started in sentence 14. I don't need a conjunctive. I don't need an and. We were told, make for yourself a boat of gopher wood, make the boat of residences, and line them with pitch inside and out. And these are the dimensions, but the word and, or the vav, isn't entirely necessary. Now, the truth of the matter is that we do find cases in the Torah where there are ands, even though we're in the middle of a series. But the answer may be that each one of them is meant to teach us something. The norm, and I brought a whole bunch of examples on my own sheet. I didn't bother putting it on your sheet because I wanted to fit everything on one side. But the norm in the Torah is indeed to simply say, zeh, this. Not vitzeh, and this. And the Medrash jumps all over it and says, and is supposed to teach me something. Once again, Medrash is all about language. And when someone is going to say to me, well, this lesson that you're going to bring from here isn't in the Torah, my answer is, you bet it is. Where is it? And. It's in the and. That's what the Medrash is trying to tell me. We are meant to learn from the and. Okay, so what are we going to do with an and? What are you going to do? You have to spin something out of this. So take a look at source number 2. Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim, a.k.a. the book no one reads in Tanakh. Especially when you get to Divrei Hayamim 2. This is the book of Chronicles, as you'll see it called in English. And no name has ever dissuaded readers like the name Chronicles. Seriously. This book includes a record of events that occur within Tanakh. And here we are told about the construction of the second temple, the second Beit HaMikdash. Vayachel Livnos Bachodesh Hasheni Basheni Bishnas Arba Lamalachuso. He, King Solomon, began to build in the second month, on the second, which commentators debate, is that the second day of the month? Is that a Monday? What does that mean? But not relevant for us right now. In the fourth year of his reign, that's when Solomon begins to build the temple. And then we get the very interesting sentence. The Ela Husad Shlomo Livnos as Beis HaElokim, and these, were established by Solomon to build the house of God. Haorech Amos Bamidah HaRishona Amos Shishim. The length in Amot, in the original measure, was 60 Amot. Virochav Amot Esrim, and the width, 20 Amot. What doesn't belong? What catches your attention in that sentence? I mean, it's true. The Vav and Ve'ela is interesting. But something else here. Sorry?
In the original measure.
What's that doing there? What is the original measure? Just tell me that Shlomo established Ha'orech Amot Shishim. The length should be 60 Amot and the width should be 20 Amot and finished. What is the first? The original. What's the original Amma? What's the original cubit? I did mention to you that the cubit has changed over time, and that is true, but what's their reference point? When they talk about the first one, what do they mean? When they talk about the original one, what are they talking about?
It must be the yard.
So Sharon says, I know. It's Noah's Ark. You can't say Noah's boat. Noah's Ark. No sense of loyalty. Ark. Okay. Ralph, you were going to say? Same thing. Okay. So, what our Medrash does is it offers us a simple technical answer to our problem that's going to carry a deeper lesson. And really, we've seen this time and time again in Midrashim. Even though this Medrash is brought as a commentary to Parshat Noach, it's not really about Noach at all. Because if I was bothered, hey, what's the and doing there? Right, there's an and. It happens. I would, forgive the and. But what's in the book of Chronicles in Divrei Hayamim is a much bigger problem. This clause in mid-sentence about the original cubit. What's the original cubit? What's the original amma? What are you talking about? Ah, that I have to address. So our medrash is really a medrash on Chronicles. But it's a good thing they put it here, because if it was a medrash on the book of Chronicles, like the book itself, no one would be aware of it. So put it as a medrash on Noach, and now you're in business. So what does the medrash have to say? Take a look at source number 3, please. There are some issues with the addition of this medrash. There are some nuances here. I went with the edition that the Eitz Yosef commentary uses of the Medrash, and that is found on the Bar Ilan CD-ROM. Okay. V'zeh asher ta'aseh ota. This is how you shall do it. Quoting the verse that we saw in source number 1. Amar Rabbi Yudan. Rabbi Yudan said, Zeh v'zeh. This and this. Meaning the word should be this. But there's an extra and there, the letter vav, and this. What does it teach me? Asid echad lamud ba'amatcha. There is going to be someone who's going to come along, God is saying to Noah, and he is going to use the same amma that you use. Your amma is the original amma, which makes sense because it is the first amma to appear in the Torah. This is the first instance of amma within the Torah. So God is saying to Noah, vizeh. And this, because there's going to be somebody else who's going to do the same thing that you are doing, measuring from the elbow to the end and so on. Hahu dichsiv, and so it says, the verse that I just had for you in source number 2, it appears in our medrash. Ore ha'amot b'midah harishona, amot shishim v'rochav amot esrim. The length in amot, in the original measure, 60 amot, the width 20 amot. V'lama hu koreosa amot tavikin, and then we get where the addition gets really rough. Why do they call that amma, or what does he call that amma, tavikin? Rabbi Huna amar shahayu matbiot ba. Rabbi Huna, this is the second time that we've seen Rabbi Huna show up. It's such an unusual name, as I discussed the first time. But Rabbi Huna said, al shem shahayu matbiot ba. Because they were equal. I'm going to come back to that translation of matbiot as equal. We're going to get to that. But that's his answer. Meaning, Noah's amma is equal to that used by Solomon in building the temple, building the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbanan Amrin, al shem tevaso shel Noach. The sages said, it's called tavikin, like teva, which is ark. That's the boat that Noah had. Yes, Shana. Where is it called tavikin? What are you talking about? Thank you. There is nothing anywhere for tavikin. As somebody who scoured the interwebs, there is nothing. Not in Greek, not in Latin, not in Middle Iranian. There is nothing out there for the word tavikin. They made it up. I don't know what to tell you. So I'm going to give you an answer as to where it came from. What I think is actually a pretty clever answer, but let's understand where this is. The Medrash asks, why is it called Tavikin? And as I said, I can't find any version of this. But the Medrash says, oh, Tavikin, like Matbiot. Matbiot is another word that we're not familiar with. What's Matbiot? So take a look at source 4, which the commentators do connect it to. It is a Mishnah in Nigaim. Our theme of Tzara'at continues from last week. Nigaim means marks. And what it's talking about is if a person experiences this spiritual affliction known as Tzara'at, marks called Nigaim will appear on them, potentially on their clothing, on their house. And the line in this teaching of the sages regarding Nigaim, Amar Rabbi Shimon said, Amosai, when is this the rule? This is a rule that's beyond the scope of what we're getting to here. I didn't bring the entire passage. Bismanshi ka'adasha, move 8. When it, the mark, is the precise size of a lentil. The point is not lentils, the point is not marks of tzara'at, the point is simply that the word move 8 is used to mean precise, when it matches something. So commentators suggest that that's what matbiot means. Rabbi Huna is saying the amma that they use is called tavikin because it is the same amma down the line from the time of Noach to its use in the Beis HaMikdash construction. And then the second answer is that tavikin sounds like teva. This is problematic. It's problematic, first of all, because the word matbiot is different from the word muvait. that you see in source number 4. Move eighth meaning equal, I can understand, based on when you want to fit something into a hole, and the question is, can it fit precisely into the hole? Like, I can find that. That's easy. Matbiot is not the same thing as the word move eighth. That is a problem. Further problem, this word tavikin, as I said, doesn't show up anywhere. I don't know who's calling it tavikin. Why do they call it tavikin? Who call it tavikin? This medrash is really difficult. And then I found source number 5 in a sefer that I happened to have on my computer because I was using it for something completely different. But in desperation, I was searching through everything I had there to try to find something that fit. And lo and behold, this came up. Rabbi Yehonatan Eliasberg was a rabbi in Europe, in, I believe, Eastern Europe, in the 19th century. He wrote a remarkable work called Darchei Hora'ah, which, among other things, talks about the rules that one is supposed to follow when deciding Jewish law, the meta rules. Like, when does it make sense to apply concern for loss as a factor in making a legal decision, and that sort of thing. It's a fascinating read. And he has a section of this called Kinei Hamidah, which means the measuring stick. And he deals with the various types of measures that show up in the Torah that have to be applied in Jewish law. And so he has a discussion about the amah, the measure of this cubit. Am I the only one who thinks of cubert every time you hear the word cubit? It's a generational thing. Okay, never mind. Hot video game from the 1980s, 1990s. It's why I keep saying amah instead of cubit. Source number 5. In the Darchei Hora'ah, he offers us the following solution to the problem. I'm going to present you the solution before you read it, because it'll make the reading more clear. He points out that when you study verbally, and you're not a Yemenite, taf and tet are interchangeable. The letters taf and tet. Yemenites will pronounce the taf as a thuf. So for them, you'll never mix the two. But it's subtler than the way I just did it. Like, it's not a thuf, like a real thuh. It's close to a T. And to those who are not Yemenites, we just do ta as both sounds. And therefore, he says, tavikin may not be the way it sounds to you, with a tuf, the way it's written, I should say, with a tuf, but with a tet. And with an ayin in the middle of it. Tavikin, not tavikin straight. Why does that change anything? Because, as he's going to explain, tet bet ayin is to mint something, to stamp something that you're minting, like matbeot, which are minted coins, precisely. And so he says it's an amma tavikin, it's a minted amma. Because what do governments the world over do in order to standardize weights and measures? In every municipality, they set up the standard, right? The foot was always measured against this foot bar of metal that they had in Paris, and that was how you determined how long something had to be a foot. And now they have different ways of doing it, and they'll do it based on, you know, electrons and the like. But in the old days, it was done by a physical item that you looked at, and it was stamped. This is the amma, and everything else will be measured against this. And he says that's what's going on with this amma tavikin, with a tet, and with the ayin in the middle. It's the minted amma, the official amma. And now, take a look at what he says in source number 5, and I hope it will make sense. He says, Mashma de shnei amos yesh bimei Shlomo. He says it seems from the verse in Divrei Hayamim in Chronicles, it seems like they had more than one amma going in Solomon's time. And they need to tell you this is the first one. It's the original. You had more than one option. V'alkein madad Shlomo ba'amma harishona. And Solomon used the first amma. Ah, HaMedrash Misayeng Sham, but the Medrash concludes, V'lama HaYukorin Osa Tavikin, to ask, why do they call it Tavikin? U'lefiyah Niyaz Daiti, he says, in my humble opinion, Nira Gamkein Lefarish Siyum Divrei HaMedrash, Demida Rishona Hi Amas Moshe, Shu Amas Noach, Kepirish Rashi. He says, it appears correct to him to explain that there was an original Amma that Noach used. And that was the amma that Moshe used. Moses uses to measure in the Mishkan when they build their tabernacle that they travel with in the wilderness. And that's the one that Solomon is going to use as well. Ulafisha derech kol memshala sheyeshno amos shayachim lememshala b'chol ir shem even bochan l'chol ha'amos shnibdados b'hem im kedim heim. Because every government has the official government amma, the official government measure that is in the city, that's the testing stone, so to speak, for all of the measures that they do in that locale. And then they will put on it the national seal once it's been tested. So it was when Israel was on their land. You had this one that was kept in the temple, and that was the official amma that they used. And then they would stamp it. But they learned, and they passed along this medrash verbally. Vayukaram amos elu tavikin. They called it tavikin. She'efshar la'amor betet tavikin. You could say it with a tet, that which they minted. Valkein mefaresh ha'echad shayu matbios ba, which he explains. Now go back to our medrash in source number 3, and the line reads so much more clearly. Rabbi Huna said, Shahayu matbios ba is with a tet and an ayin that they used to mint with. And then the Rabbanan in the next line take it with a taf, and they say no, it's like teva, tavikin meaning teva. You follow what's going on to make sure to make this clear. This is a medrash fundamentally on a sentence in Divrei HaYamim, in the Book of Chronicles. That's what this is all about. And what it's trying to tell us is that when Shlomo, when King Solomon built, and we are told in Chronicles that he built with the original Amma, it means Noach's Amma way back when. And as a sign of that, they call the Amma Tavikin, meaning either the one by which it's minted, because it's been our official Amma down the line, or meaning the one that's like Teva, the boat of Noah. Now, until now, I could have read all of this and said, okay, so now I understand a verse in Chronicles better. Is there anything here that's supposed to say something more to me? And I believe the answer is yes. And normally I would open it to the floor for everybody to comment on, but we got like 3 minutes left, so that's not happening. So let me add what I believe is the moral of the story here. We have already established that building the ark is a mitzvah from God, and that the details are the means of performing this mitzvah. The Medrash is now telling us that God says something stronger when he says to Noach, Vizeh. He's telling him, every mitzvah is a divine command, and therefore every mitzvah is equal. You building this boat is like Solomon building the temple to me. It's the same Amma. The Amma that you use, the Amma that's used in what could be called the greatest mitzvah of all time, building a home for God on earth, it's all the same Amma. It sort of reminds me, it's timely for this time of year. In the U.S., the NCAA's March Madness is going on, where all the college teams are playing in the big tournament. So for those who may recall, this is also going to date me, but those who recall the movie Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Okay, classic movie about the underdog team from the tiny school that makes the big time. So if you remember the scene, when they go into the big arena where they're going to play this major, major game. I don't think it's the NCAA's there. I think it's the state championships, but it doesn't matter. They go into this big-time arena. These kids who are used to their farms, and they're all panicked and nervous. And the coach says to them, take this tape measure, and he has them measure the height of the basket. And his point is, it's the same height as the baskets back home. What happens on this court is the same as what you're used to. And I have this vision of God doing the same thing for Noah here, and saying to him, what you're about to do, building this boat, it's the same Amma as is going to be used in building the temple and building the Beis HaMikdash. You're in the big time, Noah. But it's the same as it's always been. It's your Amma that's going to be used. Don't be intimidated by it is, I think, part of the message that he's giving to Noach. So that what you see here in this medrash is really a remarkable lesson. It comes out of odd language in a verse in Chronicles that they have to know and be sensitive to, lined up with above the and that God gives Noach to say to Noach and this Amma, because there's going to be another one who's going to use it. That's their method of doing this, linking the two. And the message is an incredibly valuable message, that every mitzvah is the construction of a temple. From Noah building his ark, all the way through to Solomon in Jerusalem, every mitzvah is this kind of an opportunity. There is, of course, much more we could say, but we're going to stop with that. And next week, God willing, we'll move on to this flip side of this sheet. So please bring back the sheets. This will be on the lighter side of Torah, as you'll see.